article yesterday about this for the Orot update. You guys, did you get my Orot update? You get them. All right, whatever. You don't? Because you're not an alumni of Orot. I'm happy to send it to you if you want. And I wrote an article, that's, and we're going to start with a Japanese... Well, okay. We'll start with a Japanese, he's called a scientist. I don't know if he's a scientist, he's a researcher, he's some kind of doctor, named Masaru Emoto. Yeah, right. Very good. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. Here we go. Masaru Emoto decided, right?
Just learned in nutrition.
You did? Well, you recognize him right away. Anybody else here know who Masaru Emoto is? The water guy? Right? You know who he is?
Okay.
Like somehow he got in his head that a person has the ability to change the world around us with our thoughts. Okay? So how do you do this? So he said, I'm going to take water. He said, regular water. And when you freeze water, sometimes it crystallizes and sometimes it doesn't. So he said he had people who thought, put their thoughts on water, right? And then he froze it and took a microscopic picture of it, a microscopic picture of the water crystal that crystallized. Okay? And he said that, right, when you put nice thoughts on the water, then the crystallized water comes out in
pinkish.
Certain forms. No. Box, something or other, right?
Yeah, for the G-string.
Okay, but when you get to heavy metal music, you put heavy metal music on the water.
What happened to that jumping?
Right?
It's all jumping.
Oh, well, when it's heavy metal water, then it's time for a new laptop. Okay? Then it comes out significantly different. I don't know if there are more pictures. Okay? Then they took water and they wrote on it love, peace, nice things. And then they froze it and they crystallized it and it came out really nice. They just put like labels on it. And they had like Adolf Hitler on it and I hate you, you should die.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Right? And it came out like, and that's how the crystallized water came out. Now, if you look at the...
How many did he do?
Right, exactly. If you look at... Well said. And those of you listening at home, you can look it up on the interwebs. You can search for this guy. And if you look at the Wikipedia page, you will note that the Wikipedia people say that when scientists try to recreate his things, they weren't exactly able to recreate them. And he himself admits that he always takes the nicest picture. So theoretically, it could be that he takes the water. Some of it crystallizes for some reason. And he always takes the nicest or the not nicest picture. So his theories have not, well, shall we say, it has been scientifically proven. Arlen, what did you say? You want to say something about nutrition?
No, I said I learned about nutrition as well. I agree. It's not like a study that would hold up under, it's not a medical study. But
right.
It's interesting.
It is very interesting. And so my question for you today is it true? Or is there some Judaic resonance with this idea that we have the ability to physically affect the world around us by directing our thoughts? Okay, now we'll just say, I happen to have been had a chavrusa in Tabat Chaim, and it just so happened that I came one day and they were in the middle of a Yom Iyun. And they were having a presentation about this. And then they did, on this Yom Iyun, they said, they had this guy who was like really into this, and he took water, he said, he took water, and he wanted to plant plants with water. He said, he did an experiment. He took two seeds from the same whatever, and he had these little plants in his kitchen. And one of them he planted with regular water from the tap, and one he planted with water that he had made brachot on. Like he would take a water, he would make a bracha on it, drink the water, right? And then he would use that water in order to plant. And he, like, the picture of the water with the plant, like regular, was like, fine. And the picture of the water with the bracha plant, like, grow all over the place, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, take it how you want, you know what I'm saying? How does it affect the water?
And the location.
Yeah, it could be anything, right? You know what I'm saying? Our scientific... What's that?
Fertilizer and brachot.
Fertilizer and brachot, right. You know what I'm saying? But...
So they've had studies with plants and music doing that.
Have they? And it works?
That's what my gardener told me.
That's
what he says.
Yeah, and the plants grow nicely. Does this have any Judaic merit whatsoever? And the answer is...
Yes,
it does. Clearly it does.
You think about sick people and you have...
We'll talk about that. So today, we're going to talk about the notion of Ayin Hara.
Or you get a brachma,
Ayin Hara. We're going to talk about Ayin Hara. I sort of alluded to that in my email. You didn't get it? But the Ayin Hara, nobody reads that quickly.
All the doctors have said they're never, ever going to recover.
If you see that, okay. And this all begins, and the Ayin Hara begins from Parshat That doesn't begin. There's, as you can see, I have many books in front of me. Hopefully we'll get to most of them. Okay? And the idea of Ayin Hara, we see a direct allusion to it in Parashat Balak. So turn to Perek Chaf Bet. Okay? As we all know, Bilam comes to Balak. One second. Bilam comes to Balak. It's the other way around. Balak comes to Bilam and says to Bilam, we're never going to beat the Jews on our game, militarily. The only way we can beat them is by trying to curse him. So do us a favor, will you come and curse him? And Bilam says,
Hold on, I didn't tell you yet.
Bilam comes to him and says, sure, I'll curse him, no problem at all. Okay? So first he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just to go over the story. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. He says, no. They come back to him and they say, please, 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 won't you? We'll really respect you. We'll pay you a lot of money. And he goes back to Hashem. Hashem says, no. And Bilam, for some reason, gets up in the morning and says, yeah, why not? I'll do it. Okay? So he comes, he travels to Moab. But remember, our vote Moab, we've been to these places, right? So somehow, the Jewish people are encamped in our vote Moab. And the king of Balak and Bilam, they come into the mountains where they can sort of see the Jewish people. So it's very important. You should just know that Bilam says, each place, we'll go up to the mountain, and I want to go up to a place where I can see the Jewish people. You know, he says it a number of times. So the first time he says, no, it doesn't work. He gives him a bracha. The second time he goes and he gives him a bracha. I want to go to the third time. It goes to the third. Turn to chapter Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Perakav Yomer Pasuk Chav Zayin. But Yomer Balak. So I'll wait till you all find it. Okay. Anybody here have English? No one. What can you do? Where's your Ramban in English? He helped for a cheater. Okay. But Yomer Balak El Bilam Lechana Ekachachal Makom Acher. I'll take you to a different place. Ulai Yikar BeEinei HaLokim VeKabot Olim Misham. Maybe Yikar. It will happen. Right. Ulai Yishar. Sorry, Yishar BeEinei Elohim. Thank you. It will be righteous in the eyes of God, because it's from your cursor. Kavchet. Vayikach Balak et Bilam. Rosh ha-Peor. So he took him to the head of the Peor. Ha-Nishkaf al-Pnei Yishimon. What is Nishkaf? It looks out over the face of the Yishimon. Vayomer Bilam el Balak. Kavchet. Bnei li bazeh shiva mizbechot, v'achet li bazeh shiva parim b'shiva elim. Please prepare for me 7 altars, and make each one 7 and 7. Vayas Balak shemar Bilam, vayal par ba'al b'mizbech. Okay? And each time that he did this, he made the 7 sevens of korbanot. Vayar Bilam. So Bilam saw, ki tov be'enei Hashem levarechet Yisrael. Okay, it is good in the eyes of God to bless the Jewish people. V'lo halach kepam bepam likrat nechashim. And it wasn't working. Likrat nechashim. What is nechashim? Sorcery. V'halach kepam bepam likrat nechashim. The sorcery just wasn't happening. Vayashet el hamidbar panav. And he turned his face to the midbar. Okay, where is he facing to the midbar?
Away from Eretz
Yisrael. Second. Rashi says, like Unklus. Unklus says, he faced to the midbar where there were Obed HaTa'egel. Like, he was trying to invoke the spirits, the powers. Now, Pasuk Bet. Vayisa Bilam et Einav. Vayisa Bilam et Einav. What is Vayisa Bilam et Einav? He lifted up his eyes, Vayar et Yisrael shochein lishvatav, and he saw the Jewish people shochein lishvatav. What does that mean? Shochein lishvatav. We're gonna see a bunch of midrashim. Dwelling lishvatav, according to their tribes, meaning what?
Unperturbed.
Okay, unperturbed.
Because they had their emunah.
They had their emunah. Very good. Each shaved was isolated.
Separated into each tribe.
Okay? But that's what it sounds like. Very good. That's all what it sounds like. Vatihi alav ruach Elohim. And the spirit of Hashem came upon him. Rashi, well, let's read on a few psukim and then we'll come back to Rashi. So, by the way, so something about Vayisa beloved Einav is interesting. He lifted up his eyes. What can you say? Vayar Tisrael, Vayar Bilam, Shochen Nishvatav, Vatila Ruach Elohim. Also, what was unique about Shochen Nishvatav? That caused him to have this Ruach Elohim. Something about it. Vayisa Mishalo Bayamar. Now I need a little English help because it's hard translation. Nu'um Bilam Bino Ba'or. So saith Bilam, the son of Beor. Nu'um ha-gever, so say the gever. Nu'um, the speech of the gever. Shetum ha'ayin. Shetum ha'ayin, sounds like his eyes have been gouged out. Nu'um shomer imre el. This is those who hear the words of God. Asher machazeh shaday yechazeh, who sees the vision of God. Nofel, he falls down. Uglu eglui einayim is revealed to the eyes. Then what does he say? What's that? You know it by heart? Besiaka made you memorize it, I remember, right?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael. That we all know. Okay, what do we find that's very interesting about these psukim? What word that I never noticed until I read it again appears three times, four times. Nu'um we know, but Nu'um is a speech. This is my speech. So say he introduces himself.
Einayim.
His eyes. Okay.
He
raised up. Vayisa et einav. Good. In the next pasuk we see shetum ha'ayin. Gouged out eyes. And the next one is glui einayim. Revealed eyes. Let's look at Rashi. And then he says matovu ohalecha Yaakov mishenotecha Yisrael. And let's look at Rashi on that. What does he mean matovu ohalecha Yaakov? What was so great about Halacha Yaakov says there's more animals upstairs if you want, and also there's stuff outside if you need it. Maria went on a trip, so you know.
Yeah.
Right. Rega Rashi on Hey Matovu Ohalecha. How great are they? It's a very famous Rashi. What was so nice about the Ohalim of Yaakov? Very good. Ashira'a pitchehem she'inam mechuvanim ze mul ze.
They had a different builder.
Then Yavin Yamin. Well, then everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like here, I look out, right? And you
it
look
was
out.
A cross breeze.
No.
It wasn't a cross.
Somehow, there's a very famous midrash that when they built the tents, okay, the doors of the tents didn't face each other against the street. By the way, this is not intuitive, right? You know, when you build, what?
Intentionally.
Right. Why would they do that? Rashi says it's for privacy. When you open the tent. Right, so my door was facing east and your door was facing west. So when we went into the house, so when I opened my door, you couldn't see each other. You couldn't see into the house when you walked in. You couldn't see and there was a sense of modesty and propriety. Atovo alecha Yaakov, mishkinotecha Yisrael. The Jewish people had a sense of sexual propriety and modesty and privacy vis-a-vis one another. They respected each other's privacy. Okay, very interesting. There's also a very different. You ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard that? Very famous midrash. Very important midrash. And then there's another interpretation of Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. What are the Ohalecha and Mishkinotecha? Look at the next Rashi. Chaniyotecha, Ketargumo. Okay, your encampments. Davarachai Matovu Ohalecha. Matovu Ohalecha. Matovu Ohal. I'm in Rashi. I'm not. Hey. Okay. Matovu Ohalecha. Matovu Ohel Shilo. What is Ohel? What is the Ohel of Yaakov? Ohel Yaakov is Ohel Shiloh. It's Ohel Shiloh, the tent of Shiloh, the Mishkan, the Beit Hamikdash. Ubeit Olamim biYishuvam shemakribehem korbanot lechaper aleihem. So Ohalecha, what is our great Ohel? Is the Beit Hamikdash. Mishkinotecha, what is your Mishkan? Af kishehen charevim, right? Even when they're destroyed. So what is our Mishkan when our Beit Hamikdash is destroyed? What's our Mishkan? No, the Beit Hamikdash, the Beit Knesset. So we have an Ohel and we have a Mishkan. Right, there's also an allusion to the table being a Korban. But that's Ohalecha, that's Mishkinotecha. What did Bilam see and what did he try to invoke? What did he want to do? So the Gemara says that from his bracha, you see what he wanted to curse. That he blessed the Jewish people for their blessings, he wanted to curse them for the Mishkan. He wanted to curse them for their tzniut. That's what he wanted to curse them with. Let's see.
It's sort of ironic in terms of the juxtaposition, because isn't last week's parasha where at the end a lot of people get killed for their sexual impropriety?
No, that's this week's parasha.
Okay, so that's sort of kind of ironic. That
doesn't stim, as we like to say in Yeshivish. What do you mean?
But yeah, no.
But you mean it's sort of ironic.
It's ironic, yeah. Or maybe that's
not.
Right.
What's ironic?
Well, the irony is at the end of the parsha they get punished for their impropriety and here.
What impropriety?
Their sexual impropriety.
Correct. What did they do?
Well. Something with the women of Moab. No.
Correct. Not Zimri and Cosby. Zimri and Cosby is the final straw. What are the Jewish people? Okay, good.
I don't remember.
Very good. We'll see it because it's very relevant. Oh, one second. You're all ahead of me. Very good. Look at Rashi on Pasuk Bet. Hold on. Vayisa Bilam et Einav. Bikesh, see Rashi on Bet. Very important, Rashi. Bikesh lachnis bahem ayin ra'ah. He wanted to invoke upon them or introduce to them the evil eye, ayin ra'ah. V'hare yesh lecha shalosh midotav. He has three midot. Ayin ra'ah, ruach gvoha, v'nefesh rechava. Amrim lamala. He has three negative attributes. Ayin ra'ah, an evil eye, Ruach Gvoha, V'nefesh Rechava. And of those of you who have this version or footnotes, where is that from? Where are those three attributes from? Anybody know? Doesn't say? No. It does say from the Midrash Tanchuma. It's a quote from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which we will see today. I will show you today. Okay? I will show you right now. It says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Perek, hey, Perek. One second. Hey, Mishnah Yud Tet, the following. And we're going to see another Mishnah. Mishnah says the following. Those of you taking notes at home. Kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha dvarim halalu. Anyone who has these three things, mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu. He is a student of Avraham. V'chol shlosha dvarim achirim, mitamidav shel Bilam harasha. And if you have three other things, you are a disciple of Bilam. What are the three good things? Three good things are Ayin Tova, a good eye, not the baseball kind. Do you have good eye in cricket where you're from? Do you have a good eye? No? Good eye, you know?
Yeah.
What? In cricket? You know. The Americans get it? Okay.
No, I
don't. No. I'll explain it to you. You have boys. You should know such things. Okay? When the pitcher pitches the ball, right, it has to be in the strike zone, otherwise it's a ball. So if the batter doesn't swing and it's a ball, you say good eye. Okay. So you didn't know when not to swing. It's important to know these things. Ayin tova. What? Good. That things you have to know. I mean, maybe not in Israel. Okay. Veruach nemucha, a low spirit. Venefesh shveila. These are mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu. What about the tamidav of Bilam? Ayin ra'ah. An evil eye, ruach gvoha, a haughty spirit, v'nefesh rechava, a wide nefesh. Those are mitamidav shel Bilam harasha.
What is a wide nefesh?
Right, that's a great question. Hold on, we'll get there. Tamidav shel Avraham Avinu. Wait a second. Ma bein tamidav shel Avraham Avinu l'tamidav shel Bilam harasha. What's the difference between them? Well, we'll tell you. Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu ochlim ba'olam hazeh v'nochalim le'olam haba. The students of Avraham Avinu, they eat in this world and they inherit the next world. Life is great now and great later. Shne'amar lahanchil ohavei yesh v'otzuratet ohava yesh v'otzuratayhem amale. They will have an nachala and an otzar. It'll be great in this world and great in the next world. Aval Talmidav shel Bilam harasha. He's not Bilam. He's Bilam harasha. The wicked Bilam. Yorshim Gehenom. They get hell. V'yordim lebe'er shachat. Both in this world and the next world. Remember that it's the parallelism. Good in this world, good in the next world. So the Bilam people, bad in this world, bad in the next world. Shneamar va'ata Elohim teridem lebir shachat anshei damim u'mirma lo yechatzu yemeim v'ani yiftach bach. So what are these things? It's very important to know. How do I get an ayin tov and a nefesh shafel and a ruach nemucha? What are these things? What is an ayin ra? So, it's very good. There's another Mishnah in Perkei Avot that you might have heard of. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Bet sends his, I'm sorry, not Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Second, has five students. And he says to his students, Amar Lahem, he says to them, Tzu'u u'ru'u ezohi derech yishara shidbak ba ha'adam. Go out and find for me, what do you think is the most appropriate attribute, right, that a person should cling to? Okay? Rabbi, you're made from, what's that? Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ayin Tov, a good eye. So what is this Ayin Tova? Okay? Says the Bar Tanura, Mistapek b'ma sheyesh lo, ve'eino mevakesh dvarim yeterim. What's an Ayin Tova? You're happy with what you have. You're not jealous. You're not, you don't need extras. Ve'eino mekane sheroe sheyesh chavero yoter mimenu. You're not jealous when your friend has more than you. What's an ayin tov? So say it another way. What does it mean to have a good eye? To have ayin tov? To be happy with what you have. But I want to broaden it to some degree. I want to broaden it. Not keep it, but that's being happy with what you have.
Wishing other people.
Generous relationship with others?
Wishing people good.
Wishing people good more than that.
I think it's humility.
What's that? Is it just humility? But it's not, he didn't say humility. We're going to get to humility. Humility is a nefesh. That's the second attribute. Nefesh shefela. Being happy with what they have. No, but it's not an ayin tov. What's an ayin tov, though? These are all aspects of what I think an ayin tov is. Yeah, sure. We're going to get to that. What's that?
Knowing Hashem is giving you what you're supposed to have.
No, but I think what you just, it's another step. It's looking upon others and saying, well,
being satisfied with your love.
Yeah. Wait, well, he just said ayin tov. I'm like, where was I? I was in.
It's love. You know? What?
Yeah. Now you're just throwing out nice things. Love. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, and harmony in the whole world. Like, you, I mean, all these things are good.
If someone else has it, it's like you have it.
Is it?
Yeah. If you really feel that way. If you can feel that way about someone else.
Someone gets a beautiful,
I don't know, gift. Yeah. Right? The question is, am I going to be jealous and say, oh, I wish I had this?
Or do I say, wow, that's really nice. I'm so happy. That's genuine. Genuinely satisfied with what you have.
That's istapkut. Okay, that's ayin tov.
And please,
that
other people are in there.
I'll read you what the Rambam says. Rabbi Lazar says, what's an ayin tova? Ayin tova, really, they're all quoting the Rambam. Ha-istapkut b'ma sheyesh la'adam. To be happy. We mistapek. And to be honest with you, it's a very hard midah. Especially in the world in which we live, in which everything around us, meaning, forget the sexuality of advertising, the entire media world is here to teach you that what you have is not enough. Really. That's their job. Their job is to tell you, you have a closet full of beautiful clothes. Oh, did you see the new collection?
What would really make you happy?
Right, what would really make you happy is if you had, and that's exactly it, by the way. What would make you happy is if you had this. Which means, because you don't have this, it's ridiculous.
You're making your father breakfast?
Wait, didn't I buy pita? Or you used them up already? I didn't buy pita? Couldn't find it. Okay, finish them. Well, which means, because you don't have this, you are not happy. So for women, it's clothing and makeup and whatever it is you guys want. For men, it's gadgets. You know what I'm saying? And cars.
The newest upgrade.
The newest upgrade. Exactly right. Your iPod 3 works perfectly well. But it's not an iPod 4.
Just like what you said, it's time for a new laptop.
breaking.
No, but it was because it's breaking. Because it's breaking. I meant it. Wasn't it flickering? Wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Just be happy with what you've got.
I'm so not. It's not even funny.
How long do you have it?
What's that?
How long do you have it?
This thing?
Yeah. This whole thing?
It's a year old. Yeah, they're
built in obsolete.
No, not obsolete. It works fine, but they're disposable now. Doesn't make sense. You can't repair it. You can't. It would cost me more to repair it than. Yeah. Anyway.
No, yeah, I've got mine. My brother went to get it. It's terrible in America. Yeah. He went to the shop and he wanted a cord to put his machine in. He said, "Well, if you buy this laptop, the one off the show, it's the same price as the cord."
No.
$50.
Oh my God. Anyway.
It's a netbook.
This is I just want to have it. It's a great thing, but they're disposable. We figured when it dies, we'll buy another one. Anyway. Wait. Good. You're great. We're gonna get there. I promise. Okay. We're gonna get there. 100%. We're gonna get. I'm not gonna leave you. Where's my? I'm good on time. Okay. But Ayin HaTova is not Histapkut. Histapkut is an aspect of Ayin Tova. I would like to say, and I think this is more of a... he says, what Ayin Ra, Rambam says? Hafcha, the opposite of Ayin Tova. Haktanat HaDvarim. Nothing I have is enough. My iPad 3 is not good. I need iPad 4. And whenever you get it, and this is, by the way, is a very dangerous thing. Right? When you get something, as soon as you get something, and there are people like this, you know, and we all know people like this, and I won't even say that. We're all like this to some degree. Yeah. Right there. Oh, I would have liked it in another color. You know what I'm saying?
But it's material, because it will never satisfy
you. Because the throne is in the air. And the charitzut, the drive for more. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I have a Mazda 5 from 3 years ago. What does Mazda do when they do a Mazda 5, when they put out the new one? They make the exact same car, except the side. No, but they're going to. The side is a little swoosh. Yeah. And of course, you notice it right away. Oh, that's a 2011 model. It's not the 2009 model. You know what I'm saying? What is the difference? Does it drive any differently? Absolutely not. But it's got a little swoosh. It's like, you know, it's like. That's what they do. They do that on purpose because they want you to. Their business is predicated upon you wanting the new one, the better one. Okay. What? Or wanting a Mazda 5, right? Okay. See, like it's hard. It's very, very hard to say I'm happy with what I have. I guess maybe I need to go. Baruch Hashem, I drive. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't have a car, and I have what I need. You know what I'm saying? And we're not talking about not what, like, if you need it, you need it. If you need something, then you have to find a way to get it in order to function. And needs are relative. What we're talking about, it's not enough. It's never enough. I want more. Okay. I think Ayin Tov is something that includes this Histapkut, but it's more than that. The way I understand Ayin Tov, and God forbid I'm not going to click on the Rambam, but it could be more than that. Ayin Tov is a general positivity about life. Because a person with that sense of goodness and Ayin Tov, when you have a general positivity about positive attitude about life, then when things come your way, it's unbelievable. Oh, terrific. You know what I'm saying? How's the coffee? Whew, good. You know what I'm saying? That very same person could look at the coffee and say, "Wow, I was a little bitter yesterday. It was a little better." What?
Last week
was better. Yeah, stronger. It's not as strong as it was. It's a perspective on things. It's an outlook. Without a doubt. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, this is like what I've glommed onto, like Rav Doron talks about. If you've ever gone to Shirim and the Preslav verse, this is like Rule 1A, Aleph 1. See the good. Focus on the good. Because when you see the good, and focus on the good even within yourself, mostly they talk about within yourself, when you focus on the good things happen. When you focus on the bad things happen. I'm going to talk about that also. Ayin Tov, a good eye, being positive, seeing, being positive about the world that Hashem created, the brachot that I have in my life, right, the challenges that I face, the things that I enjoy, the things that I experience, and it's so up to us. It's such a choice. Do I want to be Ayin Tov, or do I want to be Ayin Ra? And it's a midah, and it's a midah that you can acquire, and a midah that you can choose to have. I found I was doing research on this. It's a shocking thing, I did research, okay? Found an article from Bar Ilan. Bar Ilan puts out this article every week. You can get their sheets if you want, and they send it an email also. It's more madai, we'll call it. Okay, and he quotes the Mishnah, and he says, what is this Ayin Tova? Okay, this is, who wrote this one? Dr. Yoel Shiloh. I don't know who he is. He said, the Darkenu, for our purpose, will say, Ayin Tova, hi histaklut optimit al haolam. It's an optimistic view of the world, like the Shita of Rav Kook. And Ayin Ra is a pessimit, a pessimistic view of the world, like the philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer. Everybody, when you study, you study Schopenhauer in philosophy class? No? You could Wikipedia him, I don't know either. I'm not a philosophy guy, but Schopenhauer had his view of the world, and I looked this up on Wikipedia, thank God for that. Schopenhauer's view of the world was, everything has a root cause, and you can't control it. Everything is already decided. There's a force, and it's decided, you have no influence on it, and whatever is happening is going to happen, has already happened, and nothing you can do can change it.
Well, he's right, and wrong.
No, he's not right at all. You have the power to make choices. That's the whole of Cook.
Right, but Hashem knows everything already, so it's a...
He didn't believe in God either. He didn't believe in God either. He didn't believe in God either. It's also a small part. We're not going
to
get into that cheer.
Oh,
everything happens to you outside of your control. Even the things you do are outside your control. Just live your life and whatever happens, happens. Okay? But he says, so what's... And I think everything...
The chief rabbi went to Stephen in Babbage Arabia, and he asked him a question. He said, where are you at the moment in your life? And he said, circumstances in which I find myself, and the Rebbe stopped him and he said, you don't find yourself in your circumstance, you put yourself in your circumstance.
That's right. This Ayin Tov is a worldview and it's a philosophy and something that you have to, that we, and I see this as myself also, this is not, we constantly have to work on, constantly, because the life throws us things, it throws us curveballs, and the only way, the only choice we have really is how do we relate to them? How do we deal with them?
That's where the work on it is, to listen to your children.
Listen to your children?
Because whatever you say, they start to parrot. And then you get annoyed. Well, why aren't you happy?
Yeah.
Because I'm happy? What did I say? What did they hear me say?
100%. Okay, so this is all a very nice Mr. Shmuz, and it's all good and all true and all well. Does it fit into our Rashi? Rashi says, Bikesh lahachnis bahem ayin hara. He wanted to enter into them, to impose upon them Ayin Hara. If Ayin Hara is, and then Rashi, by the way, quotes Ayin Ra Ruach Gevurah Nefesh Feila. So the Rashi quotes the Pirkei Avot, right? Does it fit into Rashi that what? That Bilam wanted to make the Jews unhappy. That's how you understand it? He wants to make them pessimistic?
Well, if it's the opposite of optimism. You said that Ayin Hara is optimistic.
Okay.
Then if he, again, it becomes, then it just becomes a self-destructing
path. How?
Right. If he takes away their hope, if he somehow gets them to believe that there's no hope.
Here's again.
No,
how, where, let's talk about the situation, the physical situation. Where is Bilam?
On a mountain.
He's on a mountain. He's hanging out on a mountain. And Bikesh lahachnis behem ayin hara. How would I, if I wanted to depress you, Mimi, if I wanted to get you to look at things in a bad way, how would I do that? I would have to do something. What would I have to do?
Telling you how bad things are.
I would have to interact with you, right? I would have to say, that's your phone?
Oh, what an old phone.
Jeez, seriously. I don't know how you function without a shopping app on your phone. Oh, I love my, you know, whatever.
And look what that one's got.
You know what I'm saying? That's how, but where is Bilam? Right, is he talking to them? Are they hearing him? Is he even remotely aware of them? Are they aware of him?
Oh, his thoughts.
He's just looking at them. Right? How can he impose lachnis behem ayin hara?
Because mental telepathy.
The sky and the mountain.
And they see this guy? No, it's very clear from the story that without Moshe Rabbeinu telling us the story of Balak,
we
would never know this happened. Right? This story of Balak is about Hashkachat Hashem without us ever seeing it. Right? So how does this Ayin Hara supposed to work without any communication whatsoever? Thoughts. Okay, so it seems clear to me that the Ayin Hara of Rashi is not the Ayin Hara of Rambam. Those are definitely two different kinds of Ayin Hara. But it's not that. So if he wants to be Machnis of them Ayin Hara, well, what is this Ayin Hara? Where does it come from? Okay? So I'll read you on the Midrash.
It seems like yeah. While Am Yisrael was sort of dissatisfied, right, with the Aman and with some of the Meraglim, and there is a whole...
Yeah, the Balak would have come up for sure.
Of the dissatisfied, so maybe...
It's playing on the insecurity.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe now, you know, Miriam just got... I don't know. I just feel like there's just...
Knock them while they're just a lot of stuff going on.
Before? So then, why would you need his Ayin Hara?
Maybe he knows it's a weakness.
Ah. Okay, but how does he do it? How does he do it? How does he impose his Ayin Hara on them?
I think about Darkling Pot.
What?
He's lifting up his eyes to the star, so he's like praying to
him. He's praying to God.
But towards the midbar.
But he lifts up
again,
his eyes.
Again, Ayin Hara is a worldview, is a perspective. The fact that I pray that Tammy should want to buy my coffee because her coffee is not good enough, is that going to affect you?
No.
Right. Unless it is. Now we come to the Zohar. Okay. Mahu shochen lishvatav. What does it mean, vayayis al shochen lishvatav? Ela shivta de Yosef havat taman. It's in Aramaic. The shevet of Yosef was there. B'shivta de Binyamin. Shivta de Yosef, the Shevet of Yosef, de la shalta behu eina bisha. What's eina bisha? Eina bisha. Bish is bad. Eina bisha? Yosef does not have ayin hara. Tichtiv ben parat Yosef. What is ben? Man ben parat? Di istage le kasa al ame. Okay? He covers over his mother. Right, because of Ayin Hara. Yosef covered over his Ayin Hara, meaning Yosef covered the Ayin Hara from Esav. Ben Parat Alei Ayin. This is actually the pasuk is Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Alei Ayin. What does that mean? Dilo Shalta Be'ena Bisha. Yosef, the Shevet of Yosef, Ayin Hara has no Shlita, has no control over Yosef. Okay? One second. And, one second. Find another one. Next one. Where am I? Here we are. Tana. Amar Yirab Yitzchak, bo ure emakti bahu rasha de Bilam. Come see what this Bilam HaRasha Yibo wanted to do. Vishata di itmasi lebracha l'Israel, when he wanted to curse Israel, have mashkach be'ena bisha. Haya mistakel be'ayin ra'a, begain delo yitkayem berchata. He was looking at them with an ayin ra'a. Does it sound like the ayin ra'a of the Rambam?
Mm-mm.
Does? He's looking at them with the ayin ra'a?
Okay.
Well,
Vahave tale miloi be'ein bisha. And he placed his words, Vahave tole dvarav, be'ayin ra'ahahi, with that evil eye. Why? Shehaya sone lehem yoter mikol b'nei ha'olam. He hated them more than anyone in the world. Ki ba'or hu lashon sinai. Bilan ben ba'or, bo'er. He had a burning hatred for the Jewish people. So he looked at them with his hatred, with his ayin hara. And that's Nu'um HaGever Shetum HaAyin. Shetum HaAyin, his eyes were sitma, burning, hatred. He closed his eyes, he was so angry at them. Okay? Began to lo yitbarchan al yadei. Shetum HaAyin. So this is the ayin bisha, the ayin hara that Bilam wanted to impose upon the Jewish people. What is this ayin hara? So there's a really great article. I'm going to read you a Gemara in Baba Metzia. Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, says the Gemara. They see Hashem, the Torah says, they see Hashem mimcha kol choli. God will remove from you kol choli, all sickness. Amar Rav zu ayin. This is choli, sickness, ayin. What is the ayin? What kind of ayin? Okay, Rashi says, davar, something, shekol hachalaim tuluyim bo. All sicknesses are dependent upon it. V'zeh ha'ayin, ayin ra'a. This is ayin hara. Rav l'taymei. Rav followed his own reasoning, his own logic. Dirav salik lebei kvare. Rav went to the cemetery. Avad mai de'avad. He did what he did. What does it mean he did what he did? Rashi says, what he did, yodea haya lilchosh al hakvarot. He knew how to whisper over the graves. Ulahavin al kol kever ukever be'eza mito met. He would go to the kever and he would whisper, do whatever he did, and he would know what caused the death of this person. Mizmano, im bizmano, if the person died in the proper time, im ba'ayin ra, if it was because of ayin ra. Amar, he said, tishin v'tisha ba'ayin ra'a, echad b'derech eretz. He says, 99 out of 100 people die from ayin hara. Only one person dies from natural causes. So Rav said, what is ayin? There's this thing called ayin hara that's out there that affects us all. Okay? This is an article on Daat, you should just know. Great website on ayin hara. Okay? So he quotes a bunch of different sources. Okay? A bunch of different sources. The Mishnah that I quote a few and the Rambam. Then there's a Gemara in Brachot. The Gemara says the following. Haiman, the ayil lemata v'dechel me'ena bisha. A person comes to a place and he's afraid of ena bisha, ayin hara. Linkot zakfa diyada diyamine biyada dismola v'zakfa diyada dismola biyinei diyamine. Zak is akuf, his, I think his thumb. Take his hands and his thumbs. Okay. V'leima hachi, and say the following. Ana ploni bar ploni mizara diyosif ka'atina. I am ploni bar ploni, and I come from the child of Yosef. Why do I come from Yosef? That ayin hara doesn't control him. Dishnemar ben parat Yosef ben parat ale ayin. Al tikra ale ayin. Don't say ale ayin. Ela ole ayin. He goes above ole ayin. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar Mehacha. Yosef Bar Chanina says it comes from here. V'yidgu larov bekerev haaretz. You might have heard this. Ma dagim shebiyam mechasim aleihem. The dag of the yam, mechasim aleihem. The water covers them. The ein ayin ra'a sholet et bahem. There is no ayin hara on fish. Avzer Rosh Yosef, ein ayin ra'a sholet et bahem. So too, the children of Yosef, there is no ayin hara that is sholet on them. So is there such a thing as ayin ra'a in Yahadu? So you might have seen, by the way, people have this symbol of the fish. Symbol of the fish. Negid ayin hara. So you'll see all these amulets, right, that people wear, right, has a symbol of a fish. Okay? And you
can
should
read
know.
Questions.
What?
Yeah.
Well, the symbol of fish is also a symbol of fertility. Okay? I don't know how it got to be Christianity, but fish is a legitimate Jewish symbol. You should also know that Sfardim, they'll say Ben Parat Yosef. They do, right?
Yeah. That we looked it up because we were somewhere.
So what does this mean, though? What's that? Yeah. So what does this mean? Is there such a thing as ayin hara?
Yes.
Oh yeah, it's in the Gemara. Okay, so he says the following. He writes the following. I don't know who that. Look for the name of the person who wrote this, but he says, Chazal melamdim otanu. Okay, Chazal teach us. Sheish mispar dvarim. There's something called midat harachamim and midat hadin. We generally want midat harachamim. Because Baruch Hu generally deals with us in midat harachamim, which means we all have our good sides and our bad sides. Because Baruch Hu generally looks at us with ayin tova, midat harachamim. He says, you know, sure, she should really improve, but she goes to the shir. She tries to raise her children properly. Unbelievable, midat harachamim. But every now and then, something causes Kadosh Baruch Hu to look at us and say, midat hadin. So it could very well be that when someone looks at you and looks at you with ayin ra'ah, they have the ability to look at the person and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do they really deserve that rachamim? maybe you should look at them with midat adin. Now, by the way, there's a danger of that. What's the danger?
It can happen to you.
I'm going to look at you and say, okay, fine, I will, but first I'm going to look at you. Right? So it's not a good idea to look at somebody with midat, with ayin ra'ah. Because if you look at someone with ayin ra'ah, generally it brings upon you the same ra'ah that you look at with the other person. How come she got that? Why didn't I get it? Good question. I'll ask the same about both of you. You don't want to ask that question. Okay? One of the gormim, hafalat, hadin hu mikreshel ayin hara. Ayin hara causes midat hadin. Okay? Rav Dessler says, pe'ulat ayin hara mishireshet be'uvda. It's the following. How does it work? It works in the following. Shekshura nafshot kol b'nei adam kshurot u'me'orot zubazu. All human souls are connected to each other. And their lives are interwoven. And if your eyes are, if you have a tsarut ayin, jealousy, a negativity about a person, it is possible for you to cause a lack of shefa, a lack of benefit for this person. You can harm that person. So how do you protect yourself? How do you protect yourself from ayin hara?
Having an ayin tov.
No, how do you protect yourself? How do I protect myself from that person's ayin hara? How do I free myself? It's only out of my control. What, because I bought an iPhone 4 with all the newest, greatest stuff, that person is jealous of me?
You don't have to wear it on your sleeve.
What's that? Very good.
What did you say?
So there are two ways.
You don't have to plug people's eyes out.
Right, with your Shefa Eloki.
All your goodness that you've got in the world.
Right.
Just keep it to yourself.
Not making people...
So there are two ways. So the way is not amulets. The way is not red strings. That's not going to help you so much. So Rav Kook says something very very strong. He says, why was Yosef protected from Ayin Hara? He says, the first thing you have to have, he says, lo tif'al ki im ayidei chalishut ha-nefesh ha-mitpa'elet. Right? Yes, Ayin Hara works on you if you are yourself spiritually weak. If you yourself are not confident and sure of your own spirituality, and we all fall in some degree in this category. We have moments, hours, days, weeks, of weakness. And you have to work on and to find that connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you're spiritually strong, okay, then if you're spiritually weak, then the other person's habata, ayin hara, it influences you. It can influence you effectively and also sub-spiritually. So, but the other thing is, okay, they say is, okay, don't wear it on your sleeve. Right? The idea of sni'ut. Okay? Rav Moshe says, Balei ha'tzlacha nizharim litpar ba'tzlachatam. If you have success and you have material wealth, right? And we know this in life, the best thing to do is be tzanua about it. Right? Because if you flaunt it in front of everyone, and it all depends on the relative value, if everyone sees you, naturally they're going to be jealous of you. You know, if you build this big mansion in front of everyone, what do you think they're going to say when they walk back into the house? What do you think they're going to say when they walk in front of you, when they walk by your door? They're going to be jealous of you. They're going to want what you have. And they're going to look at you with that tzarut ayin. So it behooves you to be tzanua about it. And to act in an appropriate manner. And to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the blessings that you have. And not let everybody else know it. That's a very important thing. It's a very, very worthwhile attitude to have. Now,
I'm getting a little confused between the two types of ayin hara. Are they separate or are they the same?
Yes.
Both, you mean?
Yes. One is that I'm jealous of the other person, and through that jealousy of the person and my negative energy, I can actually affect that other person. That negativity can affect that other person.
So that's,
that's right. So how do I affect that person? How does that person protect himself? They can defend themselves from that energy by not being a cause of that person's jealousy and negativity.
Not to believe in ayin hara.
He didn't say that, not to believe in it. He said, don't be jealous of other people. Be happy with what you have.
I heard it on
the tape.
That's what he says.
What?
In order...
He says it doesn't exist?
No, he says it exists only if you believe in it and allow it to have power over you.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why you would... No, Rav Kook says that it doesn't affect you if you have strength of spirituality. That it didn't affect Yosef because he was strong. But the two models are Yosef and the fish. Yosef was strong. The fish were? Not strong, covered. Those are your two protections. Either spiritual strength. It's either you believe it or not believe in it. I believe in it. I think that people can affect us. I think that we are all interconnected. And moreover, I think we're interconnected. Not only spiritually, but also physically. I have this book called, I found in the Oral Library, Tosefet Bracha. I gotta get this book. Okay? Tosefet Bracha, you all heard of Torah Tamima, right? Torah Tamima was written by Rabbi Baruch Levi Epstein. He also wrote a pirush called Tosefet Bracha. That it's a little, not a well-known commentary, a whole set of pirush on Chumash. So he notes that, he says the following. He notes about, the Chazal talked about Ayin Hara, okay? And that Shehitel Behem Zuhamat Eino Hara'a. That Bilam imposed upon them, he placed upon them Zuhama. What's a Zuhama? It's like the stench, the pollution, right, of his Ayin Hara. Listen to what he says though. Asher Hevi Litotzarot Ra'ot Umachivot. That brought about terrible, painful results. Kimuvuar Bisofa Parasha. What happened at the end of the parsha? The sexual impropriety up at the end of the parsha. Why? Says Rav Epstein something shocking. We thought the Jewish people were protected. We thought the bracha turned, the klala turned into a bracha. He says, no, Bilam was successful. He imposed upon them, what did he see that he liked? What did he see that he was jealous of? Their modesty. He says, oh, those modest people, I hate those Jews. I hate them, I hate them. I wish their modesty turned into sexual impropriety. And it happened.
So the lesson from that.
Hold on. Hold on. I don't know. He says, I don't know. This is what he says. He says, I'll give you an example. This is unbelievable. He writes in his pirush. He says, and if you don't believe in the Koach Shlitat Ayin Hara, I have to quote for you a story from the local newspaper. It is from Yair Nimir. From 1881, episode 2 and 3. They told this story. And he tells this whole story. I'll just translate for you. There were scientists in Russia, okay, that did the following experiment. There was a certain person condemned to death. So, of course, scientists in Russia in 1881 had no compunction of using people sentenced to death for their own scientific experiments. So they took this person and they starved him. They put him in a room for 3 days and didn't give him any food. On the third day, they took this guy, who was starving to death by then, and put him in a room, right, with a loaf of bread. But they made it such that the guy couldn't reach the bread. Okay? Ubr'ot ha'isha ta'kikar. When the person saw this bread, he looked, shalach bo chatsi eina b'habata amuka. He looked at this bread with a deep gaze. Merov tzaron v'ravono. He's out of his hunger and his pain and his anguish. Until he was so hungry and so angry and so anguished that a mania overtook him. Okay, and then when the scientists went and opened the bread, they found that it was malei ra'alim va'arasim chazakim. It was full of poisons and eris and venoms. Okay, and the chachamim decided kizeh pri ha'abata amuka shel ha'ish. This is science in 1881. They said, so if you don't believe me, open the newspaper. And I say, if you don't believe me, open the internet. Right? Look at Dr. whatever that guy's name was. Right? So, is this fascinating? And the tzitzit says, you don't believe in Ayin Hara? You don't think that we can affect the world around us? We can. You still skeptical? Okay, be skeptical. Did the tzitzit believe in Ayin Hara? Clearly. Did the Rambam believe in Ayin Hara? Not so clear. Not that kind of Ayin Hara. Do we have the power to affect the world around us? Without a doubt.
We can all stop
buying cottage cheese. Is it something that's emotional, physical, spiritual? Without a doubt. And I'd just like to end on a positive note, okay? Which is important. If Ayin Hara is destructive, if you can hurt somebody with your Ayin Hara, you can, without a doubt, help somebody and bless them and bring them Shefa and good with the power of Ayin Tov, of being happy for that person, of seeing the world in a positive light. And I thought to myself, yeah, I don't, do we ever try this? A person, and that's like this idea of tefillah for a person who's in need. And I was thinking about it. I know a guy in this yeshiva who needs, he's got needs, he's got sorrows. Do I think good thoughts about that person? Do I think positive thoughts about that person? Can we focus our positive energy on other people? Because if you believe in Ayin Hara, you should also believe in Ayin HaTov. Power to affect good things, to bring brachot and shefa to those around us. Stop here.